Welcome to the Drinking with the Saints podcast with Mike and Alexandra Foley,
where each week we mix a bartender's guide with the lives of the saints to help you celebrate the feasts of the calendar with liturgically correct cocktails.
Let's get started.
Welcome back to the Drinking with the Saints podcast. I'm Mike Foley.
And I'm Alexandra Foley.
And thank you for listening, saintly sippers. We are sorry for the long hiatus.
We have missed you.
And we hope you have missed us. We have been busy.
Been a busy season.
It's been a crazy season. I don't know if we should go, how far we should go into our personal travails this year. Not too bad, but enough to keep us busy.
A lot of things on the plate, but I'm sure all of you can relate.
Indeed. So much easier to talk about your woes with a drink in hand.
Right. All the more reason to have a little drink.
Exactly. So let us begin in our customary way. We're going to go straight to today's cocktail, which is called a Saint-Tropez in honor of our saint, Saint Torpez of Pisa.
Right.
Stay with us, O Lord, for it is getting towards evening.
And bless our drinks and our conversation.
Amen.
Saint Torpez?
Saint Torpez.
Torpez. Pray for us.
Pray for us. Mrs. Foley, would you like to read the second recipe on that list?
Happily. The Saint-Tropez. 1 ounce of citrus-flavored vodka, or plain vodka.
We're just using plain. And I'm making this for two.
One ounce of Saint-Germain liquor. So I'm just going to do a little quick math, and that's 2 ounces.
You're good.
Very good. I teach math, Mike. Yeah. 1/4 ounce of lemon juice. It's going to be 1/2 ounce. See, I can even do fractions. And then it's going to be tonic water, but first you're going to pour all of ingredients except the tonic water because we don't want to shake effervescent things. We're going to shake those in a shaker filled with ice and shake 40 times. And then you're going to strain it into a highball glass. We, however, are using a martini glass because we're rebels. Filled with ice and top. You're rudely interrupting me. And top with your tonic water.
And for reasons that will be shortly made clear, I'm garnishing it with a cocktail sword. Piercing, a lemon twist that looks like a boat with a cherry in the middle. Please consult the photograph that will be attached to this podcast.
So fancy.
To your health and holiness.
Cheers, and God bless.
Smooth.
Sweet.
We cheated. We didn't have tonic water on hand, so we used regular sparkling water. It's good. But it is a little on the sweet side, so I think the tonic water would provide just the right balance, give it a little bite and a little more complexity.
And it could use a little more citrus. IMHO.
Oh, think so?
Yeah.
Well, squeeze the twist into it.
Ooh, that's what I'll do.
So before we talk about the drink and the saint, let's just talk about our woes.
Oh, no.
Well, they're not that bad. So we tried to have a dry Lent. It was not as dry as we hoped it would be. But even so, we just weren't in the festive mood for a podcast. So we blame Lent.
Wasn't our fault.
And then I am teaching at Baylor. Still am. Happily so.
Still have your day job.
Okay, still good. Have my day job. Not quitting that. And I had a new prep this semester. It was great.
Great new class.
Alexandra's in the class. It's called Engaging Nature Through Great Texts. What can the great texts teach us about the proper relationship between man and nature? And we have been having a blast reading Moby Dick, Old Man and the Sea.
To Build a Fire.
By Jack London.
Braiding Sweetgrass.
We're doing Braiding Sweetgrass right now, which is a Native American perspective on things. Very cool.
The poems of Gerard Manley Hopkins, my favorite poet.
Indeed. So it's been really good.
Great, great students too.
But as you teachers know, an extra prep is a lot of work, especially because the majority of the texts, some I'd never read before, and all of them I've never taught before. So that presents an added challenge.
I think also you're probably intimidated during your prep because you knew your biggest fan and your biggest critic was going to be in attendance.
It's terrifying.
I have so loved it. I have not been in a class of Mike's since the first year we were married, so 26 years ago, at Boston College. And I got to take his perspectives class, it was called. And it was basically, it was two semesters from Aristotle to Nietzsche. Got through all of it except for I missed Kierkegaard because I gave birth to our first daughter.
A likely excuse.
But I did manage to get back for Nietzsche. Exactly. Ending on a low note.
Nothing says newborn like Nietzsche.
Like Nietzsche. Well, children are kind of the eternal recurrence of the same. Anyway, it's been so fun to be in your class and to go to class with you and to read the books with you and then to just enjoy these marvelous students. It's been such a joy.
It has indeed. And the last time Alexandra was in the class, as she mentioned, we had just gotten married. We soon were expecting a child about a month and a half after our wedding. And nobody knew that Alexandra was my wife. But then she started to grow with expectancy.
I could no longer fit in the
little
student chair, the kind that has like the wraparound desk that has like maybe 10 inches in there.
Exactly.
Finally had to start sitting sideways. And that the kids no doubt noticed this.
Not a usual problem for undergraduates.
Hopefully. So we finally had to come clean with the students.
Exactly. But that was a fun time. And then having Alexander back in the classroom has been wonderful.
Just think, those students, so that was 25 years ago.
They've got second. Kids of their own.
I know. So they were like 20. They're like 45.
Good Lord. Yeah.
Wow. You know what that means?
I need a drink. What?
We're old.
It does.
Like that math can't work because I'm still 16.
Exactly. The other irony of our absence was that we crave more leisure in our life.
Sheesh.
And in order to have more leisure, I bought more stuff. I bought a boat a few years ago, and I bought a Jeep so that we could navigate some ranch land that we acquired. And the boat and the Jeep have been a nightmare.
And then also your truck broke down.
Yep.
And then today, your main vehicle, your Camaro, Mike drives a 1971 silver Camaro, which is pretty darn cool. But it today broke down. It blew a rod.
Blew a rod. And the Jeep blew a rod. And I've owned cars for 38 years. Never had a rod go out. And then two rods get blown within 3 months.
Yeah.
Some bad mojo in the air, I'm telling you.
Definitely not your fault.
And we're in tornado country. Yeah. Today we had a tornado warning in Waco, McLennan County, and apparently the tornado touched down right outside our property in Penelope.
As far as we know, it could have been inside our property because we haven't got out there yet. Y'all could say a prayer for that.
Well, actually, maybe could you pray that the tornado did touch down in our land because...
Be careful what you ask for.
Well, we have a... We try to get a wildlife exemption from the state of Texas, and you have to clear so many acres per year. If the tornado does that for me, I'm counting that for the state. Doesn't matter what agent did it, whether it was man or God. If the land is cleared, the land's cleared. Am I right?
Exactly.
All right. Enough of our troubles. Let us move to a man who had true troubles. His name was Saint Torpez of Pisa.
Mm-hmm.
And his feast day is Monday, April 29th.
Okay.
He was either a knight or a gladiator during the reign of Emperor Nero.
Wow.
And at some kind of party, the Emperor Nero announced that Diana was the creator of the universe. And Torpez said, no, she's not. And he professed his Christian faith.
How'd that go for him?
Well, you can imagine he's a martyr. Mm-hmm. He was beheaded.
Okay.
And here's where the details get a little fuzzy.
So just like to back up for a second, Nero is like first century.
Yes.
So
AD 65.
This sounds like one of the like 10 earliest saints I can even think of besides.
He is said to have been converted by St. Paul.
Cool.
Now, the whole story is very cool, but the whole story is not 100% reliable, just to be honest with you.
Okay.
So we don't know if he was beheaded in Rome or in Pisa. Pisa claims he was beheaded there. And then they put his headless body in a boat in the Arno River. And they put in the boat a dog and a rooster.
Obviously, why wouldn't you?
To peck at the body.
Gross.
Yep, because they were trying to humiliate this early Christian martyr.
Mm-hmm.
The boat drifted, and the Arno empties into the Ligurian Sea, and on the other side of the Ligurian Sea is the south coast of France. The boat glided 300 miles.
Mm-hmm.
It landed on a site which is now Saint-Tropez, France. The dog and the rooster never pecked the body. Another miracle.
Mm-hmm.
They would not touch the holy relics. The dog went one way, and his name was Grimaud. And Grimaud went one way, and wherever he landed, that is now the town of Grimaud on the coast of France.
Totally makes sense.
The rooster, named Cogolin, went another way, and then where he landed is another town of France. So you got three towns on the coast of France named after this saint and his story.
Take that, Nero.
Exactly.
Is there a town named Nero?
Nope.
Ha ha.
Exactly. Neither did the other Roman emperors. They did the dumb Natio Memoriae. They blotted his name out after he died.
What was like the golden thing he made? The golden?
He made this huge palace.
The golden palace?
And they basically made a hill out of it. They filled it with dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was buried for hundreds of years. Part of it was rediscovered during the Renaissance. But the only way you could get to it was through like a hole in the roof. And so artists would go down into this area and they called it the grotto. And they'd be suspended and they'd have like a little candle and they would try to like look at the art and copy it.
Indiana Jones style.
But in candlelight, it looked really weird. And that is where we get the word grotesque.
From grotto.
Yeah.
Went down into the grotto and they're like, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yep.
This looks gross. Let's find a new word for that.
Exactly.
The grossness that's inside of a grotto.
And the art's actually very good, but again, dark, suspended, candlelight.
There's snakes.
Shadows.
There's snakes.
Why did it have to be snakes?
Why did it have to be snakes? Huh, so those names, Cogola and Grimaud.
Grimaud.
Yeah. Those sound like very French names.
I mean, oui.
I love these stories. So were the animals named in Rome? And then they like got to the land. They're like, I'm Grimaud and I'm Cogola.
Okay, so now it's turning into a fairy tale and not hagiography. And all right.
There's a slim line between.
Can we be honest? The dog's name is Grimaud. But historically, we know that the town was founded by the Grimaldi family.
Yeah.
So that's a coincidence, don't you think?
The humility of the family that was like, let's name our family after that dog from Rome. They're so humble.
I love your bias interpretation.
Yeah.
So anyway, the garnish that I chose, so I did the cocktail spear for the sword of Saint Torpez. Whether he was a knight or a gladiator, he wielded a sword. And then I took a lemon twist and kind of arranged it like a boat and then put a cherry in the middle. The cherry represents the headless body of Saint Torpez in the boat.
Cool.
So I know we've touched upon this in the past, but what do you think of these crazy stories?
I love them. Like sometimes when you're telling them to someone who's not a believer, you're like a hard swallow and then... The two animals went left and right, and they named towns after them.
Yep.
But I love the Catholic imagination. Like, it doesn't diminish. I'm sure that there are historical accounts of Saint Torpez.
Well, the tricky thing is there's absolutely no record of Saint Torpez until the 9th century. So it does make one a wee bit suspicious. But
was he excised from the new calendar? Like they took out a lot of historically accounted for.
That's right. So,
like Saint Christopher.
When the new calendar when the calendar was being revised, there definitely was this sense among the liturgical reformers that if it's not historically accurate, we shouldn't be celebrating it. And I understand that point of view because, for one thing, like you said, like in terms of apologetics,
right.
we're defending all these crazy stories, and maybe that undermines the validity of our belief in the resurrection or something like that.
Right. If this story is squishy,
yeah.
Then what about the resurrection?
Yeah.
Right. It's like the whole thing about Santa Claus.
I'm sympathetic to that point of view. On the other hand, I look at these crazy saint stories as basically being family memories.
Mm-hmm.
And not all of one's family's memories are super accurate.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean you don't cherish them, right? They're just part of the lore. They're part of the family culture.
Yeah.
And, Saint-Tropez celebrates St. Torpus's feast every year. Pisa does as well. They have, effigies of him that they carry through the streets.
Oh, good time. Good effigies.
Exactly. They didn't burn them.
Uh-huh. You rarely hear that word and think good.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, why not?
Yeah.
They're just part of, your crazy uncle told this story, and he didn't tell it before the 9th century, but it's still part of the lore, and you cherish the stories.
So do you think there's like a need to, you're telling them to your kids, to say like, this is a weird story, maybe not to be true, and then here's the resurrection or the life of Jesus Christ?
I would just say, wait until they're ready. Like, you tell the stories like, wow, that's so cool. And then they say, did that really happen? And then you can say, well, with these stories, we don't know. The Gospels, super testified, super reliable. That's a different story.
Yeah. I remember when I was coming back to the faith post-college that state priests just kept saying, the resurrection is historically accounted. Just like, this is marked in history. There was a man who lived, crucified. There was an empty tomb. That is all historically, from a secular or Roman perspective, totally accounted for.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And then I just loved like the wabi-sabi weirdo stuff of Catholicism.
Me too.
My niece says, niece, and she's like, auntie, and she's, not practicing the faith right now, but she's
she's coming back.
But she's like, auntie, Catholic faith is so whack. I'm like, yeah, it is. It is. And she thinks that the Eucharist is just like this crazy, crazy idea. And I was like, yeah. And then we were talking one night, and Mike was mentioning a talk he had just given where he was explaining how the bizarreness of the incarnation is more bizarre than you as a man becoming a cockroach. The difference between you and a cockroach is not that different. But the difference between God and man is so much greater. So the idea of then God becoming man, then becoming our food, is just, it's bonkers. And it's so beautifully giving.
Oh.
So I heard that from Mike, and I was like, boy, niece is right. It is whack, but it's like wacky love.
Oh, it's wonderful whack.
So yeah, it's so wacky that someone, that God loves us so much that he would do that.
All done out of love.
Yeah. I don't love cockroaches so much that I'm A, willing to become one,
exactly.
And B, willing to become the food of cockroaches, locked in a box at every church to be visited, be ignored and visited and eaten and sometimes eaten unworthily. Anyway, went down a path there.
The drink will do that to a woman.
I love the faith so much.
Same here. So we love the stories, and Saint Torpez, whoever you are, please pray for us.
Have you been to Saint-Tropez?
I'm trying to remember.
I don't think you have.
Been to Marseille.
I've been to Saint-Tropez. Thank you for asking.
Oh, really?
Yes. I was in 7th grade. We had lived in Portugal. We were driving around the south of France before we had to go fly back. And we went to Saint-Tropez. The beautiful south of France. Marseille wasn't so great, but Saint-Tropez was truly beautiful. Gorgeous. So I didn't see a dog or a chicken, though.
On one of those European beaches?
In Cannes, we did Cannes.
I think so. Like the Cannes Film Festival?
Cannes. But there were topless women on the beaches.
But I was asking.
I know. Yeah, no, I know you. Yeah, Mike, the Mediterranean Sea was beautiful. Like, not what I'm asking.
When I hear the words Saint-Tropez, I don't think Catholic martyr.
You don't, exactly. And when around that time, there was Bain de Soleil was a suntan lotion.
Mm-hmm.
And the line was Bain de Soleil, the Saint-Tropez way. And had this like beautiful blue pool and like a gorgeous woman. She was not topless. A gorgeous woman in a white bathing suit, you know, tanning herself with a big hat. It was just this gorgeous. And I remember where we stayed in Saint-Tropez was like kind of a junky motel,
mm-hmm.
but it had a pool. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ooh, it doesn't really feel like the Saint-Tropez way. But the town itself was really beautiful. And I was just totally psyched to have a pool as a seventh grader.
God bless Catholic culture.
That is exactly what I was thinking. Yes. But the south of France is truly, truly beautiful. And I wish that someday my husband will take me.
Oh, for Pete's sake. I've taken you everywhere.
I've been to Georgia. Never mind.
Yeah, we're definitely back.
We needed this so badly. Exactly. Thank you, friends. Feels so good to laugh.
Exactly.
All right, what else you got?
You know, like I said, there's not a lot on this guy. I did the best I could.
All I care about is the drink right now. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. So we do recommend the tonic water rather than just the regular sparkling water, but I thought everything else was good.
I really liked it. I think it's great because tonic water, you know, has the bitter of the quinine, but it also is more sweet. It's got sweetness to it. So I kind of think that this with, unless you took down the St. Germain,
yeah,
I think it would have been too sweet with, and I'm sure we've had it before, but. But I really liked it with the sparkling water.
Excellent.
A little more citrus.
Okay.
Maybe you can make me a drink after this. And
oh, I'll see what I can do. All right, friends. Thank you so much for joining us again. We promise to be more reliable in our podcasts in the future. Once a fortnight is our goal. And we got the summer coming up. So that will provide us more time, hopefully more leisure. Fewer mechanical problems.
And also thank you to all of our listeners and friends who said, you know, hey, I really miss your podcast. What's going on? So that was really encouraging.
It really was.
So yes, feel free.
All three of you.
I know it was four and a half.
That's right.
No, thank you. And that means a lot to us.
Right. Good night and God bless.
God bless. Make me another drink.
Thank you for joining us. Please get in touch with us via email at podcast@drinkingwiththesaints.com.
Or on our Instagram page at Drinking Saints. And find Drinking with the Saints book series at drinkingwiththesaints.com or wherever fine books are sold.
The Drinking with the Saints podcast is produced by Back Row Media.